Listening Library presents Tyler on Primetime by Steve Atinsky. Read for you by Max Casella. Chapter 1.
More peanuts? She must have been the oldest flight attendant in the world, and she hovered over me with a look on her heavily made-up face that said, "Poor kid, traveling alone. Maybe some extra peanuts will cheer him up."
"No thanks," I said.
"We might have an extra chocolate chip cookie up in first class.
They're warm."
"That's okay. I'm fine, really."
"Well, just let me know if you need anything," she said, and moved down the aisle with perfect balance.
I appreciated the sympathy, but it really wasn't necessary.
Why?
Because I was on my way to Hollywood, soon to be a star. The way I saw it, one day in the not-so-distant future, that veteran flight attendant would be sitting in some airport lounge talking about the good old days of aviation when this face would come on the TV screen. He'd look familiar, a skinny 12-year-old with sandy blonde hair. Suddenly it would hit her that the boy she'd offered extra peanuts and a first-class cookie to was none other than Tyler Stewart, television star. I was about to spend the next couple of weeks with my Uncle Pete. Pete is a writer on the most popular show on television, Kids in the House. If you haven't seen it, you've been living in China or on a desert island, or your parents are public television pledge drivers who only allow you 2.5 hours of educational programming a week. Kids in the House is a half-hour sitcom about a good deed-doer couple who can't have kids of their own, so they adopt strays from all over. These are kids that nobody else wants, like when you go to the pound and get all mushy for the ugly mutt with the broken leg and sad eyes who's pressed himself into the corner of his cage. Then you take him home and find out that he also does stuff like eat paint and turn your shag carpet into his own personal pee pond. You still love him, but you never know what kind of trouble he's going to get into next. That's sort of what it's like with these kids. People who write comedy like my Uncle Pete call it hijinks. The show's been on for half of forever, and every year some kids leave and some new ones come into the cast. I figured myself to be a natural for the show. First, I'm funny. Really. Not an obnoxious class clown who'd do anything for a laugh, but someone, as they say in the business, with great comedy skills. I can do imitations and come up with funny things to say at just the right time. All right, not too many people know how funny I am yet, but I crack myself up on a regular basis. In my head, I'm a scream. Second, my uncle's a writer on the show. He's the one who taught me my first joke. Here it is. Two flies are in the kitchen. Which one's the cowboy?
The one on the range.
I know, it's a groaner, but hey, it was my first joke. Third, for the next 2 weeks, I'm practically an orphan myself on account of my dad being too busy to look after me while my mom's vacationing in Cancun, Mexico with her new boyfriend, Rafael. Talk about groaners. Don't get me wrong, both my parents give me plenty of quality time. The quality with my mom is usually worry. At any minute, I expected the phone on the back of the seat in front of me to start ringing. "Just making sure you're okay, honey," my mom would say, trying not to sound like the worry ward she is. You should have seen her at the airport. "This is the first time he's ever traveled alone, so could you please keep an eye on him? He's been going through an asthma phase for the last few years, ever since the divorce," my mom said, giving more information than anyone needed to know, as always. "His inhaler's in his bag. It's the Chicago Cubs bag. Here's my cell phone number. If for some reason that doesn't work, I also wrote down my phone and pager numbers in Chicago, as well as my email address. I'll be arriving at the Sonora Hotel in Cancun at about 9 o'clock tonight. I wrote that number down, too." No wonder the oldest flight attendant in the world was trying to comfort me with peanuts and warm chocolate chip cookies from first class. The main quality my dad offers is exasperation. He'll say stuff like, "I can't believe my kid got a C in math," or, "Why do you want to waste your time playing computer games when it's a beautiful sunny day?" Or this one, which makes me want to cry or scream or both. He'll knock on my head and say, "Hello, is anyone in there? Earth to Tyler, Earth to Tyler." I really hate that. I was supposed to spend the last 2 weeks of August in performing arts camp, but the session was canceled. As I mentioned earlier, my dad, his name is Frank, by the way, told my mom, hers is Laura, that there was no way he could take me in. Big trip to Minneapolis. Big client. Big fight. My Uncle Pete had always told my mom that if she was in a pinch, he'd look after me. I don't think he ever expected my mom to exercise her pinch claws, since letting me out of her care is like getting one of the tigers at the Bronx Zoo to give up steak.
Fortunately, she has a new therapist who urged her to take this vacation.
The separation will be good for both you and Tyler, were Dr. von Hedschrinker's precise words.
It was all fine with me. In show business, everyone needs a break, and this was going to be mine. When the plane landed, I made my way toward the exit and tried to wave goodbye to my flight attendant friend. No such luck.
Airline policy dictates that you must be accompanied by an attendant at all times, she said, and escorted me through that accordion-like tunnel into the terminal like I was a child.
When we entered the waiting area, Pete was nowhere to be seen. The two of us stood there while all the other passengers and crew deplaned.
Isn't your uncle supposed to meet you? My personal flight attendant asked, having been thoroughly briefed by my mom.
He'll be here any minute, I said, then added, he writes for TV, as if that would explain everything.
Well, then, I'll wait here with you until he comes.
The two of us stood there looking at the steady stream of people walking through the terminal in our direction. Not one of them was Pete.
You can go, I said. I'll be fine.
Miss Friendly Skies of 1966 fell into that area reserved for school nurses and doting relatives. You couldn't avoid seeing them every once in a while, but the quicker you got out of their clutches, the better.
There he is now, I said, picking a man to wave at.
Uncle Pete, I yelled, and started walking away from my chaperone into the steady stream of passers-by.
Have a nice trip, she called after me.
I ducked into a bathroom and waited for a couple of minutes. When I came out, I was happy to see that she was gone. I took a seat by the arrival gate. An hour went by. It was now around 6 p.m. No Pete. No page over the loudspeaker for me to go to the nearest courtesy phone. I was starving. I wanted to go and buy a piece of lousy airport pizza, but I was afraid as soon as I'd leave, Pete would come by, and then he'd start wandering around looking for me, and so on and so on. I began to wish I had stocked up on peanuts. Suddenly, there was Pete, loping toward me, tall and thin, his wavy brown hair going in about 20 directions. He was still about 15 feet from me when he went into his apology. Sorry, Tyler, I forgot tonight was our first tape night of the new season, and we had to do some rewrites, and then I sort of lost track of time. I should tell you that this is all typical Pete, losing track of time, wandering around, saying he's sorry a billion times. And there was an accident on the 101 freeway. I'm really, really sorry. I have to get back. Are you hungry? There's food on the set. Let's get your suitcase. We got the suitcase and tossed it into the trunk of Pete's blue Corolla. The guy makes a ton of money, and he still has the same lousy car he had when he worked in a video store. He also still rents.
So your mom and Raphael are in Mexico, Pete said as we pulled away from the white zone where he had illegally parked, resulting in the ticket that he shoved into the glove compartment that appeared to be filled with tickets. As if I cared about stupid Raphael.
How's the show going?
Good, good. He did a quick double take of me.
My God, you've grown. Are you shaving? 'Cause I'm all out of blades, and if you have a few extra...
How can I be shaving? I'm 12.
You're 12?
That's too bad. I was going to ask you to drive. Going into a routine at the drop of a hat was also typical Pete. When I was younger, he'd pretend not to recognize me at all.
You're not Tyler.
I know Tyler. He's my nephew.
But I am your nephew.
You are?
You don't look anything like him.
We'd go on like that for 20 minutes, but not this time. Pete must have suddenly remembered that for the next 2 weeks he'd be temping as a responsible adult because he stopped kidding around to say, tomorrow, first thing, we have to enroll you in day camp at the Y. Don't let me forget. I knew it would never happen unless I reminded him about 50 times, which I was not about to do. Those things Pete didn't run late for, he often forgot entirely. On the day my parents got married, he forgot to put gas in their car, causing my dad to have to pull into a service station 5 minutes after having left the wedding reception. So I wasn't about to remind him to register me at the YMCA. I figured the more time I could spend at the studio, the better my chances were of getting a part on the show. The conversation continued in an uncle-nephew vein.
You really have grown a lot, I'm not kidding.
So what grade are you going into?
Who's your favorite cub? That sort of thing.
Before long, we were at the gate of the Universal lot. The guard waved to Pete, and we started driving past various sound stages and bungalows.
Cool.
After a while, we pulled up to one of the sound stages and into a parking space that had Pete's name on it.
Cool. Very cool.
A banner hung from the front of the building. Kids in the House popped in huge letters against an even huger picture of the cast. I took a moment to imagine my face right in the middle of the stars of the show. I then followed Pete through the soundstage door and into my future.
Chapter 2. The first thing I heard was the roar of laughter. When Pete ushered me into the studio, I expected to see the cast of
Sample complete. Ready to continue?